Committee on Finance and Revenue is open. Good morning, everyone. Work session's all day today. Let me start by just saying that we will not be holding a work session on 663 today or ever again this session. The stakeholders and I just could not get to that middle ground and find the compromise, and I take some responsibility in not working harder, I guess, to pull people to the middle. And without a middle, things collapse. So maybe another time in another session in another committee, we'll try for that. But it's regrettable because I think there was an opportunity there to put a stronger wall between tobacco and minors. Try again another time. Okay? So let's go into a work session on House Bill 2316. Mazin and Senator Krasanski and Representative Barker are here. This is the one with justice court fees married to a bill that had to do with material witnesses. And we went through the fees the other day, but this was the part that for revenue guys left us asking lots of questions. I know this went through your committee. Probably should have been separate bills, but given the lateness of the session, we'll probably want to pass it out. Before we do, perhaps you guys could give us a perspective on what we're doing here.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. Jeff Barker, House District 28. Right after we had a case in Washington County where a man was in, material witness was held for 700 and some days, and he because he was a flight risk. And so, of course, that caused some concern, public concern. And Judge Letourneau from Washington County wrote me a letter. He said, I know it's too late to do anything, but he suggested that we allow depositions in those cases, which are not allowed in, normally allowed in criminal cases. They are in civil cases. And he suggested we set up a system so that a person who is a material witness who may be a flight risk, instead of holding them for as long as 2 years or longer, that they be able to take a deposition in the courtroom with modern technology and film them so they can show that to the jury later. And that way, I don't know anybody that wants to keep a material witness locked up. The courts don't, the police don't, the DAs don't. And this seemed like to be a solution, but it was very late in the session, but I quickly got that drafted, found a relating clause, and we attached to that. I've talked to the defense bar, and they had some concerns. They thought there that it possibly could be improved by putting in timelines, but they said we're too late. They couldn't get a consensus, so I said we could take a look at that later. But I think this is a good base bill, and it will resolve that problem so we don't have somebody sitting in jail for 2 years at $5 a day or whatever the per diem they pay them.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Floyd Krasanski, State Senator, District 4, also Chair of Judiciary Committee on the Senate side. And I agree with Representative Barker. This is a quick fix, but it does have the checks and balances in place. Clearly, when that story broke, I think everyone's scratching their heads and wondering, how in the heck did this happen? And you wonder, in this sense of not having what I'm going to call a check and balance and a means procedure for a process that you could actually call this out, the work that Representative Barker has done and his staff, or I should say the judiciary staff, and putting this together seems to do what we would want it to do with the appropriate ability for petitions to be filed by either party, the state or the material witnesses attorney if there's one. The court can also entertain this on their own. And I do believe that there was an one-time extension that allows for 5 days or that has been built in, that the defense bar wanted a little bit more, I guess, opportunities. And it sounds like, from what Representative Barker said, there will be more work in February. But this is one of those scenarios that, unfortunately, seems to, let's say, make the news in the media and puts us as a state, I think, in an awkward position to, I guess, justify why an individual's liberties would be curtailed for as long as it was based on what they're supposed to have. And my understanding is that
whatever he was supposed to have said was recanted, if I'm not mistaken, at the end. And so it would have been much more beneficial to have this procedure where you could actually get whatever statement it was at the early onset and not 2 years later.
Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to be clear, because none of us wanted to vote to institutionalize 905 days, so we're a little concerned which we're referring. So the passage of this bill will prevent, hopefully in the future, a material witness being locked up for 905 days without due course. So we're voting on the side of the right here, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Was the concern yesterday. We were a little concerned. We were voting to lock, you know, we were going to get the last straw and be blamed for institutionalizing.
And this man was a Mexican national. Yeah. And they were afraid he was going to run and he'd never get him back. So, right. And that's what this is. The judge said, I'd love to have been able to let him out. I can't do a deposition because it's a criminal case. So that's what we're trying to fix here.
Good bill should pass.
Right, and I'd say in closing, this is one of those unique opportunities when you unfortunately have these experiences. What is it that we can do differently? And as we all pretty well know, that in a criminal setting, you don't get to take depositions. The person has the right to confront their accusers and the witnesses being cross-examined and such. This does set up a scenario where they can actually preserve what the testimony is. And this is, I guess, in a scenario where you have other type of cases where someone will come in, unfortunately, in many domestic violence cases, and they will make the allegations. Only a few days later, they have a different perspective because they fear for their well-being in the sense of their safety and security, their financial ability to go forward, and testimony will be recanted. I think this is an opportunity, as Representative Barker said, that we will be able to capture that and have something that's going to be able to potentially be used in a criminal proceeding if that person, in this case, made flight and left. Something at least has been preserved and documented. I'm not sure exactly where the defense bar is going to be. They've not spoken to me at all about this, so I assume at this point they think this is a good temporary fix.
Mr. Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One small concern, I like the bill a lot, but what happens if the material witness is available at the time of the trial and this video or however it's recorded is also available? Is there some assurance that the video will not be used but the witness will be called?
I would think a deposition could be used in a court proceeding later, so it could still be used. So if you came in and said, I didn't say that, and I put it up on the screen, show you did say that, you could, I mean, then they would make the argument. But yeah, I don't think it would go away just because you were still here.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Chair and Senator Riley, that's correct in the sense of first,
sorry, Mr. Chair,
you would in fact have the individual under oath at the trial, and if their testimony changed from what was given in the deposition, then the party would be that was on the other side of that testimony would be able to use that to impeach the individual. But clearly in a criminal case, if the witness is available, there is a statute that actually allows for a certain type of testimony to come in under certain circumstances. But clearly this would be one that if they're available, they will be required to be there, and then that deposition would only be able to be used as to impeachment purposes if they change their testimony.
So that they could be cross-examined is my concern. If they're available, they won't substitute this for the actual testimony, current testimony.
I understand, Mr.
I was going to say, Mr. Chair, committee, Senator, I don't, if the person's available, that's your best witness, and that's what they would use.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both. It does seem most bizarre, you know, as we were talking at lunch, it just seems under the Constitution, under our due process laws, it would be something to prohibit someone staying in jail, father and son, for 905 days.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you both for reassuring us on this part of what was otherwise a revenue bill.
We're in a work session, aren't
we, Chair? We are in a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2316 to the floor.
We need to the B8 first.
We have to do an amendment.
We have the 8.
Okay. Well,
What's the amendment doing now, Mazen? Is this going to get into trouble, too?
No, the amendment is the one that was testified for the last time about the other means of having the proceeding in the court rather than, so you, in the amendment line 7 is the addition of the other means to keep the records. Recording.
Thank you. Okay, so the B8 is fine. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2316, B8, dated 6/8/15 into 2316.
Dash 8. Senator Boquist moves the dash 8s into House Bill 2316. Any discussion? Seeing none, any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2316 as amended by the B8s to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Boquist moves House Bill 2316 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, any objection? Seeing none, Senator Boquist, we're down to you.
Yes, I know from yesterday. I'm familiar with this problem.
Okay.
Should have.
We are awaiting financial fiscal reports on Senate Bill 80 that could come in within the hour, but they're not here yet. So we will move to House Bill 2492. I will open up a work session on House Bill 2492. Is this your bill, Mazen? Can
yes.
you give us a quick
Today
refresh?
Is my day, Mr. Chair. You can't get rid of me. So, House Bill 2492, just to refresh your memories, is the one that has to deal with the Oregon Facilities Authority. This that adds the projects that have an outside of Oregon segment to them. The Oregon Facilities Authority is the agency that plays as a conduit between the state and the nonprofit organizations, where it issues bonds for them for those projects, and part of these projects happen to be outside of Oregon. So this is the one that you heard testimony about, that it is not to be the dominant way of doing things, but expands what they are able to do today that is only confined to Oregon.
Okay, any questions, Mazen? We're in a work session.
I'm not carrying this. I'm not worried. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2492A to the floor with the two pass.
Maybe I should ask some questions.
Senator Boquist moves House Bill 2492 to the floor of the Oregon Senate with the due pass recommendation. Discussion. Senator Edwards.
Should I vote no? So I don't have to carry it?
No, I'm fine.
Are there objections to House Bill 2492? Seeing none, House Bill 2492 passes and moves to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Senator Edwards, we are up to you on the list. So That's will fine. You carry this bill? Thanks. Okay, so Senate Bill 80. Don't have it. Okay. We'll carry over Senate Bill 80. I'll close the work session on 2492. We'll carry over Senate Bill 80, hopefully
Monday.
We'll meet Monday. Nothing tomorrow, out of courtesy to Senator Bertschiger and get him back home to the forests.
That are on fire?
That are
that are burning as we talk.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. We are adjourned.
Hey, Herman, where are all the fire?